Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in. It's the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, I mean, there's plenty of little things we can get to by way of news. We're going to get to them. The chat is already going off with supers, but before we get to everybody, how are you, big dog?
I'm excited about tonight's pod, Chad, the last one going into week two, the last one before the MHH meet and greet. We hope to see everybody there, and I'm really hyped for this matchup, as we'll break down later. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, but am I doing like a delay thing to you?
It's a little laggy, yeah.
Oh, man, that's not good. What's going on here? Oh, I see what's happening. Oh, no. All right. If it continues, you should be able to hear me, but if it lags like that, I apologize, guys. But, Zach, we got so much to get to tonight. Let's just first, though, before we get to our programming, let's catch up on supers because we hate to keep the Super Chat superstars waiting. Like Sam Bam jumping in. What's up, bro?
Thank you, Sam.
And guys, podcast and Thursday night football. Looking forward to Bo Nix getting his first career win on Sunday. Go Broncos. And apropos, it would be, Zach, because not only is it his home debut, technically speaking, but it is the MHH meet and greet wherein we are undefeated thus far. Knock on wood.
That's right, Sam. I love the positivity. And this is, despite the Pittsburgh defense, very daunting, very good. It's a winnable game for the Broncos. And I think it'll be close in the fourth quarter. And if Bo plays a little better, the offense as a whole, Sean Payton included, they coach better. They have a chance for sure.
It's a tough defense, man. Scott's got me a fear in this defense. And but hey, this is the NFL. You know, you got to beat the big boys if you want to stack the W's. So we shall see how Sean Payton, Bo Nix, how they bounce back. This defense can play a full four quarters. We're going to get into it more tonight. David, the Papa Bear, McElrath jumping in. Brother, thank you. He says, good evening, Broncos country. Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. God bless the USA. It is an election year. 12-5 plus, Buckham times 3, MHH for life, Broncos for life. Seal Team Nix. My mind still wants to say Seattle when I see that one. Sorry, I won't make the meet and greet this year. Have fun. We shall, my friend. We'll be thinking of you. That's a bummer. That's a bummer, but we will be thinking of you, bro.
Thank you, David.
We also have Taryn Little jumping in with a very generous super chat.
Thank you so much, Taryn. That's a newer name.
That is. So welcome. Connect with us on X, on Twitter. We like to shout out our super chat superstars on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. I still call it Twitter, Zach. I'm sorry. Yeah. After every stream. So thank you, Taryn. Hey, guys, what's a good place to eat around the Denver area? Going to take my wife out on Saturday night. Super excited to meet all you guys that are showing up for the meet and greet. Can't wait for the game. First game ever. Go Broncos. Really, really cool. Well, here's the thing. If you're making the trip, my advice is to hit Elway's if you can. Is it a little spendy? Yeah. But you're making the trip already, right? Like, get the full experience if you're coming from outside of Denver. Get the full experience of what it's like to, you know, the meet and greet, going to the game, I'm sure, as you said. But, Zach, I would advise highly. There's a lot of great eats around the Mile High City, but I would highly advise, for the sake of the memories, hitting Elway's.
For sure. Yeah, I was going to say Elway's too. We went there, Chad, a few years ago. The food's absolutely incredible. I would highly recommend it. If you want to stay downtown near 16th Street, there's plenty of restaurants. There's chains. There's privately owned places. So, Taryn, whatever your heart desires, you'll find in Denver. But Chad's right. Check out Elway's if you can.
That's where we typically hold. The Cherry Creek branch was just closed, I think, right? But yeah. The downtown. Elway's is where we hold the MHH staff the company dinner every year. This year we're doing a little something different to mix things up. So that'll be a change of pace. But yeah, check that out, my friend. And Elway's does not sponsor this podcast. The Lady D, what's up? Jumping in from the top rope. We love Deanna. She says, evening, Chad, Zach, and Scott. Super excited for Bo to win at his first home game. Looking forward to the win. I hope you have great weather for the meet and greet. Hoping the offensive line shows up. Wide receiver need to catch the ball. That they do. Zach, I thought it was interesting today, offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi, on how the offensive line has rebounded this week. Quote, we have a lot of confidence in the line. Quinn Meinerz, he's such a mauler. Sometimes he can be a little over-aggressive and get in front of his skis a little bit. He'll learn from that. He's a great player, obviously, and he had a great camp. So I think for whatever reason, and you have these days sometimes, we just went out collectively and played poorly. I expect us to bounce back. Close quote.
Zach. Yeah, even Quinn Meinerz said himself that it was not like him out there on Sunday. You didn't see his best. He could have played better. So you're right, Deanna. Hopefully the entire offensive line and the Broncos O-line as a whole, Chad, they allowed the most pressure in the NFL in week one. You wouldn't really know it because Bo Nix only took two sacks, but it's still an issue. With the receivers, Devon Vele, I wrote about it earlier. He missed practice 2 days in a row now with a rib injury. Josh Reynolds was limited today after missing yesterday with an Achilles injury. If there's ever a chance to free Marvin Mims or free Troy Franklin, open up the offense, it is week two against Pittsburgh.
As for the weather, it's expected to be about 88 degrees, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy, okay. I think it's 10 or 12 percent chance of rain, very unlikely, but if it does, it's going to be a nice day. I predict a nice day, and if it does, that's why we bring the tents anyways. You know, here and there it might rain on you. I doubt it, but if it does, that's why we bring the tents.
I was going to say, you and I might disagree, Chad, on what the definition of great weather is. I think it's a little too warm still for, you know, almost mid-September, but well, it's meet and greet. I'll take it.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, and I'm sorry, guys, I don't know why my camera's being weird right now. If I'm being sluggish, my only option would be to bounce out of the room, come back. But if it keeps doing this here for the next few minutes, then I will. I'll do it just for the sake of not driving everybody crazy. But Ted, brother, thank you for the super chat. He says, nothing Broncos specific tonight. Just wondering where to go in the lot for the meet and greet. Can't wait to see everyone there. MHH for life. Lot D. Lot D, you'll see us overlooking the front of the stadium where you'll see all of the big, what would you call those, Zach? All the big mobile things that they bring in for the games. And it's where the players also enter the stadium in the front. We're Lot D at a higher position where you can look down and see all that stuff. So, like, it's a great it's a great spot, Lot D. You'll see the big blue tent, by the way. So when in doubt, Lot D, big blue MHH tent. You'll see all our little slogans. You'll see MHH. And with that, Zach, I'm going to bounce. I'll be right back. I'm just going to do a quick reset. You might have to hold it down for like 2 minutes. I'll be right back.
Absolutely. And Ted, we'll be tweeting about it in the days leading up to and on the on Sunday for the meet and greet. So if you're still anyone confused as to where to go, just check our Twitter and you'll know. Let's keep it going, Scott. We got Eric Flynn dropping some stars. Appreciate you so much, Eric. Hope you're having a good evening tonight. Michael Ronquillo, The Ronk. Good evening, Chad and Zach on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Bo Leave, God bless. Bo Nix, and go Bo Broncos. Appreciate you, Michael. That's a tongue twister for me. Chad does that a little better. What else we got, Scott? Victor's Gaming 499 Super. Thank you so much, Victor. Hope you're doing well tonight. Priest, I am definitely scared of TJ Watt, but have hope the team can pull through when it counts. I'm scared too. I'm not going to lie. I mean, TJ Watt by himself is better than anyone the Seahawks had on defense combined. He's probably, for my money, pound for pound, the best defensive player in the NFL. Sorry, Micah Parsons. He has the potential to wreck any game, especially this game, going up against Garrett Bowles. If he plays, he has a calf injury. He practiced today. Or Mike McGlinchey, who's not exactly terrific in pass protection. It's going to be a struggle. They're going to have to triple team him, double team him, chip him, do whatever they can to keep TJ Watt at bay while hopefully getting the running game going, moving and staying ahead of the sticks, completing passes on rhythm, and not settling for field goals. scoring touchdowns. They can minimize TJ Watt, Chad. He is going to get his. He's that good. But you can't let him take the game over.
He's just one of those players that makes you nervous no matter what, man. Like, even if you have, like, two Pro Bowl offensive tackles, he's just a guy that's going to make you nervous. And that's only exacerbated, Zach, when you're coming off a game where technically the Broncos only relinquished two sacks, and both of them were Bo Nix just choosing to run out of bounds short of the line of scrimmage instead of just going, whoop, you know, tossing the ball. You're well outside the tackle box. That's one of the things you'll learn about a rookie. But as a rookie, but it also goes to show you, Zach, not to get off the TJ Watt subject, how much Bo Nix was kind of swimming in Seattle, like his presence of mind. Little things like that, he's probably just feeling so embarrassed in the film room, sitting in there with the quarterbacks and Sean Payton and Joe Lombardi and Davis Webb going, dude, why didn't you throw the ball away? Like, one of them, he was pretty hotly, like, right on his heels. I could understand. I don't know. It's doing it again. Is it doing it again?
A little bit.
I don't know what it could be, dude. Nothing has changed in my setup. So, sorry, guys. We'll figure it out. But we'll make the most of it. So, anyway, TJ Watt, he can exploit, Zach, a rookie whose head might be swimming. Let's hope that presence of mind has returned for Bo Nix.
I mean, the Broncos do have some sort of tactical advantage because Levi Wallace, the cornerback, played for Pittsburgh, and Sean Payton talked about yesterday that they might pick Wallace's brain a little bit. Obviously, it's not going to help mitigate TJ Watt or take him out of the game. The offensive line has to play and it's not just TJ Watt. Scott's talked about this too on his podcast. It's the entire Steelers front seven. They are absolutely loaded. It's going to be one of the tougher matchups for Denver, but certainly not impossible for them to come out on top in.
All right, so I'm closing all my tabs, Scott. I do have to have one open here for our boy, for Mike's thing here in just a second. So, Phil, the broadcasting from the parking lot, the plan is to do a little bit of that pre-game, not post-game. The stadium authority, they won't – we learn the hard way. They'll just come in and interrupt us, and it sucks. They're not jerks about it, but they have a job to do. And anyway, so pre-game, probably. Post-game, we will be trying to fly back to the hotel. It won't be – this particular gut reaction won't be, like, immediate as soon as the final gun. It'll be, like, a 30-minute window. Then we'll be going live once we get back to our hotel type thing. So, look for that. Now, the only caveat, if we don't go live pre-game, it's because either there was some sort of a technical difficulty, which I don't expect, or just so it becomes overwhelming, too many people to meet and greet. When that happens, people come from all over the world, Zach. It's like, well, we want to give them our attention instead of being like, hey, it would have been nice to meet you and greet you, but we're going to turn on a camera. And anyway, so it just kind of depends, but that's the plan. Broncos, buck them indeed, big dog. Thank you. Welcome. Says, hey, MHH, first time doing this. I assume he's talking to Super Chat. Want to thank you for all you do. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Wish I could give more, but wanted to show support somehow. Hashtag Knicks for six. Hashtag Buckham. Bro, we can't ask for anything. We can't even ask for this. All we can ask for is for you to show up and listen to and watch the streams. And if you can, participate in the conversation, whether it's 99 cents or $5 to us, Broncos Buckham. It's a massive privilege and a little Broncos miracle that unfolds for us on every single Super Chat. So thank you, bro.
Yeah, Buckham, appreciate you. If you have a comment, question, concern, please fire it in the side chat and we'll address it. Thank you again.
Somebody's ears must be burning, Zach. You know, I was just talking about this guy, yep. The old man, Mark the Jensen. Legend. The man, the myth, the legend. Okay, love you, Pops. All right, I got to do this or else we're going to lose. I think it's this tab thing that might be bogging me down. So quick segue to a matter of business, and then we're going to dive back into tonight's conversation. And that is, guys, we want to give a shout out to this new company here in Denver that we're really, really excited about called Fan Day Nation.
That's right, Chad. Fan Day Nation was started by our good friend and Broncos fan, MHH legend Mike Evans. Fan Day Nation has the most authentic, high-quality Broncos merch you'll find anywhere.
That's right. And as we all know, guys, the season is on. It's ongoing. We're heading into week two. The MHH meet and greet coming up next. Now is the perfect time to shop. Make sure you are geared up for each and every game.
Absolutely. Fan Day Nation has everything you're looking for. T-shirts, hoodies, jerseys for all of your favorite players, whether that's Pat Surtain or Bo Nix.
And here's the best part, you guys. Right now, they are doing a giveaway for a free Bo Nix jersey. You just head over to their site. We're going to drop the link in the chat. Zach's going to tell you all about it. Fill out the form for a chance to win that free Bo Nix jersey.
Yeah, the giveaway ends in a few days, September 15th. So if you want to enter, go to denverfootballfan.com. That is denverfootballfan.com.
All right, I'm dropping that link as I speaketh in the chat. And hopefully that calms down whatever was going on with my... That's so weird, dude, because you know the funny thing about it, Scott, is like, it's been so long since I've even worried about how many tabs do I have open while I'm streaming. Like, that hasn't even been something that has occurred to me in probably... since I got this new tower. Remember when I got this new tower 2023 sometime, the Victus or whatever. So I don't know. I think it actually might be something going on with my internet, to be frank with you. Broncos, Buckham. Only thing to ask is how Nix does against TJ Watt. I have watched him since he got to Oregon. I know his processing, so I expect better this Sunday. TJ is a beast, though. Thoughts. Exactly. That's the thing, is the processing meets... We were all bullish and optimistic, Zach, about Bo Nix's processing, and I still think it's very, very good. It's just that it doesn't make him impervious to the vagaries of being a rookie in the NFL. That's just the way it is. And so there are going to be some bumps and scrapes along the way, some ups and downs, some trial and error, and we just have to roll with those punches.
Yeah, I mean, TJ Watt is such a good player that no matter how good Bo Nix's processing is for a rookie or not, it's not going to matter. You're not going to shut him out entirely, but like I said earlier, you have to just mitigate the damage that TJ Watt does, whether it's triple teaming, double teaming, chipping, max protect, quick passes, three-step setup and drops, whatever you can do to help out your quarterback and maybe run the ball effectively, that's going to help mitigate TJ Watt.
Hey, real fast, I see what's going on. I'm hardlined in, but something's going on with the hardline. So I'm going to just try really fast connecting to the Wi-Fi. Hold on one sec. And see if this makes a difference. Stand by just one second. At the very least, I shouldn't be susceptible to if something's going on with the hardline. Sorry to derail the show, guys. Josh Packer, PS2, signed my son's hat in Seattle last weekend. Not only a great corner, but a great person as well. That's really good to hear. My dad to this day, since he's watching, I'll tell the anecdote, still complains about Champ Bailey. Had my younger brother, Derek, at a game, knew exactly where to go to make sure you could be in line to get the player autograph, Zach, as they're coming in or out. I forget if it was out or going into the stadium game day. And it was back during the John Lynch era, right? And so... coming out, I think the stadium, everyone's coming out. John Lynch is like, yeah, no problem, kiddo. Signs his thing. Players walk by, a bunch of different guys. Champ Bailey walks by. My dad's like, yo, Champ, right here, man, Champ, can we get an auto? Champ's like, psst. Keeps walking. So my dad to this day calls him Chump Bailey because of that, even though he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, hey, man, it is what it is.
Even legends hold grudges, Chad. I feel him on that. Appreciate you, Josh, though.
But it's good to hear about PS2. Yeah. James Edwards, what's up, dude? We got him jumping in. Two of my favorite pundits. Right on, big dog. Can we crush it at home this weekend? I know we have the talent, and I am so pumped. Bo was better than John Elway's first start. I know Bo can improve, so can the rest of the team. You know, it's so much, Zach, not in my nature to buy into pessimism and national shade. The Broncos are always kind of counted out. Unless Peyton Manning is the quarterback, the Broncos are just always kind of slept on by the national press. But the realities of eating, what is it, Scott, North, almost, is it 70 million dead? Right? Approaching 70 million, 80 million dead. Okay. I mean, as a result, big chunk of that, obviously, Zach, being Russell Wilson, that's going to take its toll. That's going to come out in the wash somewhere. Question is, can the Broncos overcome it? Can they keep it from being a persisting problem? I think it's showing out right now, Zach, the biggest way it's showing out that lack of money, because that's $80 million that they could have spent on personnel this year. And I think it's showing out on the skill position side of things, the playmaker side of things, and it's showing out perhaps a little bit as far as edge rushers. They're staying young. They're staying cheap. So we'll see. But I think the team will improve, but it's not going to be unless something changes. Last week showed me, Zach, if anything, and again, it was a weird outlier with how badass that defense was executing and the way Mike McDonald schemed up Sean Payton. It was just like this perfect storm. But to me, it was a good reminder that it's probably going to be the type of season, Zach, where it's like this: one step forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. So we'll see. We'll see. I still think people predicting six wins for the Broncos is being a little too pessimistic.
Yeah. I don't want to fully exonerate Bo Nix. Let me go on a rant for a second, Chad. He looked every bit like a rookie in Seattle, okay, and totally unlike what we saw in the preseason. But here are some caveats, and I feel like one hand washes the other when it comes to Bo Nix. First career start on the road in Seattle, one of the league's most daunting environments. The Broncos offensive line, as I mentioned earlier, allowed the most pressures in the NFL in week one. The running game, non-existent. He finished, Bo Nix did, as the leading rusher with 35 yards. The receiver struggled all game, Chad, with separation and drops to the extent that Sean Payton pleaded with them to help Nix on the sideline. Payton also called 42 pass plays to 25 run plays and then admitted after the game, I have to be better. And Nix's primary weapons, let's not forget in that game, not named Cortland Sutton, are an undrafted running back and a seventh round rookie receiver. So is it all Bo Nix or is it the pieces around Bo Nix, including the $18 million a year coach and offensive genius that looks like he's running the same offense with Russell Wilson?
Well said, dude. The dragon has returned. Let it be known.
I feel better now.
I can't disagree with anything that was said just there. The Ronk checking in to say the run game needs to be better if we want to keep Bo Nix upright. Absolutely. Zach, you cannot go as a running back group, and this is tied to the offensive line as well, obviously, but you can't average 3.2 yards per carry, especially on the road, and expect that it's going to relieve much of anything stress-wise on your young quarterback. So let's hope that, you know, I mean, unfortunately, in case you guys missed it, Audric Estime, short-term IR, hopefully they get him back after 4 weeks. Zach, how much do you think that impacts the outlook of the running backs moving forward?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the YPC, yards per carry. I wrote about it yesterday with in the Estime story. Javonte and McLaughlin both averaged under 3 yards a carry against Seattle. Estime was the only one to go over that. He actually had a decent game. I mean, it wasn't much after the fumble, but you're losing a little bit of the explosion or I guess the early down Javonte-like explosion, but I think you're going to see Blake Watson come up in his place, maybe Tyler Beatty. Watson is more than likely. He had a good preseason. He can run, he can catch, and he's someone that Sean Payton, Chad, compared to Alvin Kamara coming out of the draft.
Dude, this, I'm sorry to change the subject so quickly, but I just saw this from Scott when we were talking about dead money. The dead money for the Broncos this year is so bad, Zach, that Randy Gregory is this team's eighth highest paid player. Wrap your brain around that, guys. These are the wages of Sean Payton's decision. I'm not criticizing the decision. I'm just laying it out to fully rebuild the team and pull the trigger on, execute whatever, usher in an actual rebuild. It's going to come with some pain, and the hope is that a young roster can come together and coalesce and start outkicking its coverage, but we got to see it happen.
One more stat, because you mentioned that Joe Lombardi spoke earlier today, which he did, obviously, but he made a note that he didn't think Broncos receivers had 1 yard after contact. They didn't catch and run for anything. They caught the ball. They went down. That is not helping out your rookie quarterback, Chad, at all. Everyone around Bo Nix, and including Bo Nix, have to be better, point blank.
Yeah. That's why when – we all kind of get our hackles up when we think we may be detecting BS or scapegoating but that's why Sean Payton was saying after the game, like, hey, I'm going around telling guys, let's help our guy out. Come on, let's go. Now, Bo Nix shares his fair amount of the blame for how badly things went offensively for the Broncos in Seattle, but we can't look past the fact that no one around him answered the bell, with the exception maybe of Devon Vele. But that Seahawks defense, Zach, was so attacking. They were so locked down that, you know, if it's a three-yard crosser, boom, it's a three-yard gain. Over. There was no yards after anything for the Broncos on offense. And a lot of people, Zach, and I understand why, are going, well, it's because, see, what they were saying, the Broncos are lacking that dynamic playmaking core around Bo Nix, and there might be some truth to the lack of explosiveness, all right? But to me, it was more symptomatic of just how legit that defense was executing that day. And again, hats off to Mike McDonald.
Yeah, for sure. They played well. But, I mean, Cortland Sutton isn't the type to put a cornerback on skates. Josh Reynolds is not that type. Devon Vele is not that type. But if you get Marvin Mims the ball in space or Troy Franklin the ball in space, maybe they can do something. I think it's time, Shad, they open up the offense and at least give one of them, Mims, let's say, a chance.
I'm glad you brought up Mims, because we, you know, this is something we've been lamenting coming out of. I mean, going into this whole season, Zach, we were like, yeah, this is the year Mims, you know, and even Sean Payton. Hey, yeah, it was hard to get Mims involved in the offense, but now that Judy's gone, no problem, right? So we're expecting, and yet he gets 12 offensive snaps, one target in the season opener. Luke had a great article about it yesterday, and then today, Keith Cummings had the article for us, breaking down what Sean Payton said at milehighhuddle.com on the subject of Marvin Mims' underutilization, and this is what was said. Quote, Sean Payton, quote, it's part of the challenges when we have multiple receiver groups. Obviously, we anticipated him getting more than just 12 snaps. A lot of it depends on how much of the game we're playing in nickel on offense. Three receiver sets or base sets, that can vary. But I think you'll see his pitch count week to week, depending on the team we're playing, go up. So, I don't know, dude. It wasn't a very satisfactory, to be frank with you, answer. Like, if you're Sean Payton, you should be like, hey, honestly, the film won't lie on this subject. Oh, there it goes doing its thing again. I'll close that tab. The film should not lie on this subject. The Broncos were desperately lacking explosive players that could be explosive on the perimeter and in space. Short area twitch, quickness. That's something Marvin Mims has in spades, Zach.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very frustrating answer from Sean Payton, because why is he on a pitch count? This is not a seventh-round receiver, an undrafted free agent. You traded up when you were already low on capital in the second round for Marvin Mims. He should be a full-time starter, seeing a full complement of snaps. And if he has to be on a pitch count, if there's a reason for that, then what is the reason? Is he not learning the playbook? Is he not doing this? Is he not doing that? Why is he getting outplayed by Devon Vele, a seventh-round pick? Why is he on a pitch count? Why is he seeing 12 snaps? Why is he just a package player now, not a full-time player? If you watch his tape, he's not John Ross. Even going back to last year, Chad, at one point he was leading the NFL, I think, in yards per play, per touch. He's explosive. Get the ball in his hands and let him grow. Free Marvin Mims.
Amen. And again, guys, outside of like hopping off right now and going and resetting my Wi-Fi router, which I'm hardlined into, but still, I don't know what to do about my visual doing the delay thing. Has my audio been delayed at all, Zach?
No, your audio's good.
Audio's good. So yeah. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's up, but every once in a while, this kind of thing happens. But Phil, excellent points here. We got to see Mims better utilized, and not just Zach because of like, hey, get him a screen, or like, do you remember the touchdown pass Bo Nix threw to him in Indianapolis on the goal line where you could use that speed to just quickly get? Yeah, that's great in the short areas going horizontal, but let's use some of that vertical speed, that twitch. Let's see what we can do. Okay, Zach, and let's see. I'll try that, Scott. We have the, or maybe I'll just say, what the hell, dude? I'm not going to worry too much about it. I mean, we're already, half an hour into the show. The big concern here, guys, what I'm blathering about is the head-to-head. And we're going off a sheet, and if I have to have it open as another tab, and if it's going to bog down my visual, I'm just letting those chips fall. To heck with it. And, Zach, if you guys have any other questions, burning topics, supers, we'll get to them. But let's go through it. Should we go through the head-to-head? I mean, it's only 1 week's worth of data for the Broncos and the Steelers, but are you ready for this?
Yeah, here's the head-to-head. Steelers offense bad, Steelers defense good.
Okay, here we go. Let me get a couple things off El Screeno. And I guess I could do this. Kind of like this. Whoops. Hold on. What just happened? I don't know what just happened. Hold on. Sorry. Whoops. The Sam Hill. There it is. This is what I'm after. Okay. The Duchess first, though. She does not wait. She says thank with you, a very Michaela. Generous super chat, we love you, Michaela. Can't wait to see you in a couple days. We need playmakers. It just jumped at me how lacking we are when it comes to difference makers, and I know it will take time. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we've also said, Zach, that, hey, quarterback is the, you know, franchise quarterback is the tide that raises those ships around him. Like, as much as people might have liked Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas in 2011, no one really had an inkling that they could become what they became with Peyton Manning in the following, for Eric Decker, the following two seasons, for Demaryius, you know, the following four seasons. But Bo Nix just isn't there yet. He's still ripening on the vine as well, and the hope is that he can ripen sooner than later, Zach.
Paging Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter, Broncos on line one. Travis Hunter, Broncos on line one. You're right, Michaela. More playmakers.
There you go. We love you. Appreciate you. And I guess let's grab this Lady D, huh? We'll do Deanna, and then we'll do the head-to-head with her second very generous super chat tonight.
Thank you.
Throwing down. She says, I agree with Zach. Mims needs to make a presence and do well. It's going to be a tough game, but it's winnable. I believe in Bo Nix. He just needs to help. He just needs help to win. Hashtag MHH for life. It's definitely a winnable game. Even if it was Russ, I mean, that's a legit defense. I mean, look, real fast. I mean, just real fast here. I mean, look at this defense across the board for the Steelers. It's pretty much green. And longtime listeners know what the green means. Yeah, that's top 10 in the NFL. So we'll get more to that here in just a moment. But despite that, so tough sledding for Bo Nix. This, you know, he's not getting a reprieve after Seattle. It's not going to be any easier in that sense with his matchup. But you do have the benefit and the blessing of experience, the miracle of time, as they call it. Plus, Zach, you've got the Mile High faithful rooting you on. Instead of, we heard a few people that were there at the game going, I can't believe like anybody could do anything in that stadium. It was so freaking loud. And that was Bo Nix's first career start. But yeah, let's believe in Bo. Let's hope, Zach, that this is one of the games where he can start kind of putting some of the things together, even if it's not the complete product yet, which it won't be.
Do you know why Caleb Williams won in week one? Because he had help. Because his defense rose up and won him that game. Caleb Williams had, like, I think less than 100 yards, Chad. He was mostly terrible. That's the number one overall pick, and I'm pretty sure he was playing at home. So my point in saying this, Deanna, is you're right. From the coaching to the play calling to the protection to the running game to the receivers and to also Bo Nix himself, every single component of the Broncos offense has to be better, and they're going to have to be on their A-game facing one of the best defenses in the NFL, Chad. No way around it.
The ladies of MHH showing out. We love you. Thank you so much for all that you do to help us keep us going. And Zach and I and Scott, we're all very, very, very grateful. Okay, let's go through this bad boy, and we will get to the supers. Anything that we that might come between now and the end of the show. But here it goes. A green means top 10. Red means bottom 10. If it's black, then, you know, that's somewhere in the middle. Broncos are 0-1. Steelers are 1-0, coming off an ugly game in Atlanta, but they got the dub. So first things first, Zach, let's look at this turnover margin, the turnover differential. The Broncos currently are -1, which puts them in the bottom 10. And the Steelers, thanks to a predatory defense that was just exploiting the Sam Hill out of Kirk Cousins and those Falcons, they're +3, which ties them for the best in the NFL through one game of play, 1 week of play. And time of possession, look at that, dude. They're also top 10. In fact, top 5 are the Steelers, whereas the Broncos are middle of the pack. We can get here into the offense. Not pretty on either end, right? This is they're pretty close. These are two offenses that are akin at this stage. They're works in progress. You got the Broncos 27th in yards. Let's see. The Steelers are 20th, so doing a little bit better in yards per game. Points per game, the Steelers scored 18 last week, the Broncos 20. So puts the Steelers in the bottom 10, the Broncos middle of the pack. And remember, though, four of those points came off of safeties, right, et cetera. I don't recall if there were points scored off the return punts or, you know, the free kicks or whatever for the Broncos. But still, it's more like if you were gauging it off offense, Zach, it's more like 16 here, right? That's what I'm trying to say, which would be not good. It would be bottom 10. That was a bottom 10 point scoring showing in week one. Rushing, Broncos middle of the pack, 99. But look at the Steelers. This surprises me, Zach. 137 yards on the ground, and they're only ranked 13th, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, Najee Harris is an okay – I wouldn't call him an elite running back, but he can pick up 3-4 yards consistently. And then when you have the threat under center in Fields, Chad, that can run, it kind of opens up the box a little bit. Plus, they have an elite receiver on the outside in George Pickens. Plus, they were, you know, facing the Falcons defense, so it wasn't exactly –
Passing games, these the, again, blood brothers. Broncos ranked 29th, Steelers ranked 28th. Interceptions, the Broncos had two, none. No turnovers last week. So there was a couple of sketchy moments, including that first possession. Fields muffed a snap, but he landed on it. So no turnovers. That's helped. That helped them obviously a lot. Sacks, the Broncos, what sacks allowed? Why is it showing 4.5 sacks allowed? That's got to be a typo, dude. I remember two.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about. That's a typo. Broncos PR will have to fix that. And Scott, did the Steelers relinquish 8 sacks? Yeah, so that's just some kind of weird typo. I'm saying the Steelers-Falcons. Did the Steelers?
They had two all.
Yeah, so both two? Weird. Third down percentage, Broncos 23rd. Not good. Red zone, Zach, it's all ugly right there. But meanwhile, one of the reasons why the Steelers were able to stay in kind of command of that game, they moved the chains on third down, right? Their 47% conversion rate, which puts them in the top 10, and 0%, though, Zach, in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you watch the game or watch the Steelers offense, anytime in the post-Big Ben era, they were awful. You want to gouge your eyes out. The only reason they're ever competitive, they ever win games, is because of the defense.
Speaking of, again, we'll look at this. It's kind of terrifying, guys, but you got to beat the best if you want to be the best. The Steelers are 4th in yards per game, 10th in yards per play, 2nd in points per game. They only allowed 10. Again, 1 week. Rushing, 10th. Passing, 7th. Tied. Interceptions, 2, which ties them for 1st. Fumble recoveries, 1, which ties them for 3rd. So 3 total takeaways, though, Zach, ties them for 1st. Sacks, only 2. So they got this part right. They just missed it up here. I think this is where maybe they – I don't know. It shows the Steelers did they have more than 2 sacks as a defense last week, you think?
Probably. Scott? I would assume. I think
Watt, he said not 2. He says 2, so that part's correct. All right. Third down percent, look at that, dude. They only allowed their opponent to convert – basically 2 of 10 third down attempts last week, Zach. That is bleak. That's bleak, dude. 50% in the red zone. Meanwhile, the Broncos, 0%. They did not allow for a red zone touchdown. Was there even a – no, all the touchdowns, all the point scoring came from outside the 20. So that's why they got away with that, tied for first business. But – Zach, your thoughts here on these defensive metrics.
Do you know why the third down percentage is so good for the Steelers? Because it's a passing down. And when a quarterback drops back to pass, who's coming after him? TJ Watt. I am not trying to overstate how good TJ Watt is, because you can't. He's a one-man wrecking crew. The Broncos have to be on their toes, literally and figuratively, on Sunday.
Ball's got to come out. Quickly. Ball's got to come out. And the best way to is somehow, some way, this metric right up here has got to improve, this rushing metric for the Denver Broncos. And not just from a total production perspective, Zach, but especially per carry, because first, second down efficiency directly tied to third down efficiency. This we've learned. Specials, it's kind of, I mean, it's boring enough, Zach, to focus on special teams 8 weeks into the season in terms of the head-to-head. After one game, it's kind of whatever. But look, so far, so good on the punt return production continuing from Marvin Mims. That's carrying over. Like seeing that. But look at this, Zach. Penalties committed. The Steelers rank in the bottom, so they were one of the most penalized. But look, the Broncos, only one fewer than the Steelers, which separates you're either in the bottom 10 or you're not. But there you have it. Anything from the head-to-head that you want to touch more on before we dive back into the chat?
Just really quickly, Broncos special teams coordinator Ben Kotwicka had a presser today, and he kind of maybe dropped a little teaser as to what the Broncos are going to deploy going forward. He said that Marvin Mims can catch and Riley Dixon can throw. So maybe watch out for the fake punt against the Steelers.
Wouldn't surprise me. But maybe they have to, the NFL new rules, maybe they have to like email the opponent 2 weeks before and let them know, hey, in the third quarter, we are planning on a trick play. So, you know, based on the new rules and all that, how does that make sense, by the way, the onside kick that you have to notify the other team that you're doing it? I mean, like, I'm just trying to rationalize it through the lens of why the competition committee and the owners would think that was even a good idea. It's utterly stupid, dude. But there you go. There's your head-to-head, gang. Okay, 40 minutes. Let me see what Scott's saying here, though. Yeah. Steelers didn't cross the Falcons' 30-yard line until the fourth quarter. Is that what you're saying? Wow. All right. Okay, Zach, let's get into – we're still current relative to any outstanding super chats or star comments, but – what are your keys to victory here, big dog?
Oh, man. Number one, TJ Watt. You either let him take over the game and you lose, or you mitigate him and you have a chance to win. Number one is identifying Watt and doing anything you can to keep him away from Bo Nix, because pressure is production too. Doesn't have to be just sacks. Get the running game going. I mean, most of the keys to victory are on offense for the Broncos, Chad. I'm not too worried about the Steelers offense. Get the running game going. For Bo Nix, take the pressure off, and just everyone around him, do your job. I'm not trying to sound like Bill Belichick, but just if you're a receiver, catch the ball. If you're a blocker, block. If you're a running back, find the hole and hit it. If you're Sean Payton making $18 million a year, dial up the plays and get the personnel on the field that's going to help out your rookie quarterback. So the whole operation, just do your job.
Well said. I'll talk about a few of mine here in a second, but Keith says our defense put up 4 points in safeties and an interception that put us on the 20. Bo Nix needs to be better, and the receivers need to secure the balls that Bo gets to them. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And that ties into my keys, which are this. The Broncos, the best way that you can slow down TJ Watt is just make him think for a few flashes of the synapses. Just the synapses fire a couple times going, wait a minute. Do I push up field like a sick maniac, or do I got to see if they're going to actually hand it off? Get the run game going. Like, make that your number one priority on offense, dude. Like, get that going. And I'm not saying, you know, become Tim Tebow offense circa 2011, where you just like batten down the hatches and that's all you do. I mean, two completions to Eric Decker on the road at, or two completions, one of which a big one to Eric Decker on the road against the Chiefs. Like, I'm not talking that kind of run game, but run game in the same sense, though, of how it produced. Let's see some first and second down production. That was rough, Zach. I mean, I got to tell you, I did not expect to see Bo Nix facing so many third and eights, third and nines, third and tens, third and elevens in his first game. So that's a shame on and a knock on the O-line and the backs. Let's go. And also on Peyton, man.
Yes.
You got to be a little bit more a little bit more mysterious in how you're calling some of these things. And so get that run game going. Bo Nix, just slow down, buddy. Slow down. In through the nose, out through the mouth. This too shall pass. Presence of mind. Stop throwing into double coverage, my dog. You could live with almost everything else that happened in that game in terms of Bo Nix's imperfections, a couple of off targets, self-sacking by running out of bounds and not just throwing it away. You could have lived with all that and probably still survived to win that game, Zach, if you don't throw a pick into double coverage that was in the end zone, by the way, that took points off the board. And if you don't throw into triple coverage on the second one, those were just the two that were picked off. I mean, he's lucky he didn't actually have four or five picks in that game. Frankly, he really was. There were enough kind of turnover worthy plays that it's like, whew. But again, I chalk that up to the perfect storm of defense. First of all, rookie first start, perfectly called defense, perfectly executed defense, and a Sean Payton called game that just wasn't good enough, and a supporting cast that just wasn't good enough. Like, in other words, Zach, for the Broncos, offensively in Bo Nix, it was the perfect storm of suck. So hopefully that's like, okay, we know what that's like now. We learned our lessons. That's something Joe Lombardi talked about today, by the way, that Bo Nix, he's confident that, you know, the lessons are already learned. He's going to be way better. So offensively, those are my two big keys.
I'll add one more. I want to see the younger guys now. I want to see the Blake Watsons. I want to see the Troy Franklins. I want to see the Marvin Mims. I don't want to see the Michael Burtons. I don't want to see the little Jordan Humphreys. I want to see the future of the Broncos and what it can do. And even if Mims doesn't know the playbook or Troy Franklin, whatever the reason they're not on the field, their speed can just serve as decoys. Just get them on the field. Open up stuff in the middle. Open up stuff on the outside. Just get Mims and preferably Franklin on the field.
Rodney Garcia jumping in with a super chat. Thank you, brother. It's good evening, Chad, Zach, and Scott. And Broncos country, I hope Bo goes off and Sean Payton does not call conservative play calling in this game. Go Broncos. Well, there's a difference between being smart, being pragmatic, and being conservative. Conservative play calling to me, Zach, is born out of a fear place, whereas being pragmatic and smart about how you call your plays, like, You need to be, but it's a fine line that separates those two. You got an elite defense coming in to face your rookie quarterback once again. So if you were Sean Payton and you knew everything Sean Payton knows, how would you call that game, Rodney? And I'm not saying that to be a smartass. I'm really asking, like, going against a defense like that with a just star pass rusher like TJ Watt, what do you do? Truth is, you can't, Zach, afford to just go, all right, Peyton Manning, we're just throwing it another 40-something times again. Let's go. You can't, dude. The only way you're going to protect your quarterback is being productive on first and second down. And frankly, Zach, I don't give a snizzle how you're productive on first and second down, whether it's receivers catching passes, whether it's running backs picking up more than 3.2 yards per carry, but you got to just be more productive on first and second down. And then third down, all things become possible for you as an offense once again, just like we saw with Bo Nix in the preseason. The drives get sustained. They lead to points. But not if you suck on first and second down. And guess what? The Steelers aren't going to make it easy on you in that department. Newsflash.
You know what I hate, and thank you, Ronk. Great show tonight, Chad and Zach on the MHH podcast. Bo leave. God bless. Bo Nix and go Bo Broncos. Appreciate you. You know what I really hate? My pet peeve of the NFL is playing not to lose and coaching not to lose. And I feel like Sean Payton's play calling last week was not to lose. I don't want him to be too aggressive where he's reckless, but he can't be hypocritical either. Because what did Sean Payton say about his quarterbacks, what he wants them to do? Push the ball downfield. Be aggressive. Take chances. Where was that mentality in Seattle? It was cowardly, in my opinion, Chad. It was coaching not to lose. I want to coach to win.
Yeah, man. And again, I got to give credit to McDonald and those Seahawks, dude. That was just an insane. I did not expect that defense to be that good week one. So shame on me. Shame on Sean Payton. He obviously didn't either. Zach. Thank you, Ronk. Defensively, what do you got to do to come out on top here, Zach, with Justin Fields expected to be the quarterback? Looks like we're getting a revengeous interruptus relative to Russ. Not gonna see Russ, but what's the key for Vance Joseph's uber young defense to have themselves a day?
Well, I'm not worried about Pickens. He's their only receiving threat, and you have PS2 to shut him down. So take him out of the equation. It's keeping Fields in the pocket, not letting him break contain, not letting him scramble up the field. If you keep him in the pocket, he will turn the ball over. I promise you, be it a fumble or a pick, it's just what he does. He is not a good quarterback. So keep him in the pocket. Number two on defense, they have two decent running backs in Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren's the pass catching back, third down back. Don't let them go off in the second half like Kenneth Walker did. Contain, tackle, don't arm tackle. The offense can help out the defense by not putting them on the field so much, but stop the running game. You stop George Pickens, stop Fields. You're good.
Well said, brother. Well said. We got one coming in from the Dub, Cody Dub, in the house. Thank you, bro. Says Sean wants to make Bo look good. So use the run to wear the defense out. Then have Bo come in and work some magic. Well, think about the formula that worked for the Seahawks. They were getting – there was nothing doing. Their run game was getting swallowed up by the Broncos in the first half. Then in the third quarter, though, Kenneth Walker starts having some success on first and second down. Then what does that lead to? Seahawks play action. Boom. Broncos start overcommitting to the run because it's been working. And then Geno Smith just goes over their heads. Boom. Big play, touchdown. You're going, what the Sam Hill just happens? That's the formula, though, guys. I mean, honestly, football is a very complex, can be a very complex game. There's a reason why we love it as much as we do. But there are certain aspects of it, Zach, that are very, very simple.
Right.
In the sense that when you're talking about them as a philosophy or, you know, X's and O's, easier said than done, though. So you can't just one guy go out there and execute it. 11 guys are key to executing a simple concept, which is you get the run going, and then you can actually start killing them and play action. Easier said than done, even as simple as that concept is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know why they say, you know, a running game's a quarterback best friend? Not because it just gets yards and helps, but it sets up the pass. It sets up the play action. You don't have an effective play action game without an effective running game. And the defense is going to sell out at some point to stop the run. That's what they did, Seattle, from the opening snap last Sunday. But then if you can have play action and keep them on their toes, keep them biting, overcommitting, you burn them down the middle, down the seam, move the chains. That is what the Broncos have to do, but it starts up front with the O-line, and it starts with the backs picking up positive yards.
Osbaldo wants to know what we think about, hey, what do you football priests think about Donald Parham? So that's the former Chargers third-round pick, tight end. Broncos signed to the practice squad, a big, giant, athletic pass catcher. Curiously enough, Zach, before I serve it over to you to answer for Osbaldo, Lucas Kroll was a healthy scratch last week. And Greg Dulcich got very little work in edgewise. Your answer for just setting the stage for Osbaldo.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good pickup. And I feel like he can help out in the red zone. But the Broncos have enough Donald Parhams, meaning just big-bodied possession pass catchers. More so than Donald Parham, I want to see Marvin Mims. I want to see Troy Franklin. I want to see speed and dynamism.
Right? There you go. Yeah, dude. Locking it down.
I'm learning.
Exactly. All right, guys. At the risk of my internet being any crazier than it's already been tonight, we're going to wrap it up. We're not leaving quite yet. Got a few messages from you here from my boy. We'll check for any last burning topics and then a couple messages about the meet and greet. So don't leave quite yet.
Tremendous episode, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the mother account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad N. Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch, you know where it is, mhhmerch.com. Get you some. If you haven't done so yet, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, make sure you're leaving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
Okay, first, a mile-high salute to the great supporters and Super Chat superstars tonight. In no particular order on Facebook, Eric Flynn. We got The Ronk, Victor's Gaming, Phil McLaughlin, David Youngkin is not a super chat, but still, David, you're always super chatting us, bro. We love you. We got also Sam Bam, Ted Wunderlich. We're going to see you on Sunday, it sounds like. Stoked. Taryn, we're going to see you, it sounds like. Stoked. The Papa Bear, not this year, unfortunately. Lady D, I don't think so. Yeah, because she's saying, hope you have great weather. One of these years, Lady D. I know it's a hop, skip, and a jump for you, but one of these years. Broncos, Buckham. Let's see. James Edwards. The Ronk. the Duchess, Michaela Parker. By the way, Lady D going big twice. Rodney Garcia, Cody Dubb, Brandon Williams. Love you guys. Thank you. So, Lot D, here's how it works out, the meet and greet on Sunday. We're going to, as soon as they open up the tailgate, we will be there to set up. We expect to begin to be ready to start kind of hosting people coming through as of about 11 a.m. Okay, we'll be set up and ready to rock. So it's going to run between like 11 and 2. We'll start tearing it down when the game is approaching. And come say hi. We'll have some grub. We'll have some drinks, you know, to slake your thirst out in the Mile High sun. And then we'll put our juju together, Zach, our powers combined. We'll Voltron this thing into another Broncos victory and make it perfect 4-0 for the MHH meet and greet. But when in doubt, if you're going, oh my gosh, how do I find these guys? First of all, just look for the big blue tent that says MHH and all this and Lot D. But also, we'll have it pinned on our Twitter profile. We'll post it also day of from our Facebook, YouTube, all our major accounts will have it posted. So if in doubt, look there. But just find the big blue tent that says Mile High Huddle, State of Being. You'll know what you're seeing.
Pretty hard to miss, Chad. And can't wait to meet each and every single one of you. Looking forward to the game, looking forward to the meet and greet. And most importantly, like Chad said there at the end, looking forward to going 4-0 and in the first win of the Bo Nix era.
But your boys, your football priests, we're going to be there. Scott's going to be there. Nick Kendall will be there. Let's see. Eric Trickle, Dylan Von Arks, Ron White, Kenneth Booker, Lance Sanderson is going to make it. Not Tom this year. Thomas Hall, I don't think, can make it this year. Luke Patterson will be there. It's going to be a gas. And many of our other staffers and whatnot. So we can't wait to see you guys. Love you. And if you're making a trip, we appreciate you. Like Naj, I mean, coming from across the continent, and many people like Naj. So we don't take that lightly. We aim to please. We aim for it to be an enjoyable experience and can't wait to hang out with you guys on Sunday.
That's right. We'll see you guys Sunday, though, at the meet and greet, and we'll talk to you after on the gut reaction, a little after the game. Have a great start to your weekend. Safe travels if you're coming out to Denver for the meet and greet. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo! Let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today. Not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.